Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind and soul power. Yes, today we are going to be entering into an awareness that a man by the name of Mark Nepo loves to share through his poetry. The book, which is exquisite in its cover, it's called Reduced to Joy. It has an image of what appears to be an area like Carmel, California, where you have the misty fog coming in and there are the bonsai trees that are in the cliffs. And it's just exquisite, the cover of this book. And Mark has put into prose feelings and emotions that so much would, well, if we read them, they would relate to our very soul, our very essence. And I know, Mark, you're with me right now. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
Mark, when I was talking to the person that is at the publishing company here, Viva, they said, oh, I take Mark's book with me and I read it. And sometimes it makes me cry. Other times I just smile. And you need to know that your words really do touch the heart, spirit, soul of those who read them. And I find your story quite an interesting one. You today call yourself a poet and a philosopher. You obviously love writing poetry. You've also been involved with putting out information about health and spirituality for, my goodness, over 40 years. You have been a number one best-selling author. You've done 14 books, 8 audio projects. You've been on Oprah's show. You've had a wonderful, wonderful blessing of success. But you also have walked the road of personal challenges. And in 1987, you were diagnosed with a rare form of lymphoma. Did this have a very strong impact on your writing, Mark?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think that, you know, I'm 62, and the heart and heat of that cancer journey, which where I almost died, was in my 30s. And, you know, I was blessed to, I was raised Jewish, but I'm a student of all paths, and you know, I was blessed during that time to have people of all faiths and tradition offer help and support and care. And so being blessed to wake up on the other side and still be here, I was not and am still not wise enough to know what worked and what didn't. And so I was challenged to believe in everything. And ever since then, I mean, these last 25 years, all of my work centers on the common center of all paths and how their gifts can help us in very spiritually practical ways.
Poetry is something that I don't think people take the time to really relate to. Yet poetry, by renowned writers like Walt Whitman and so many others, touches the human spirit because it requires that you think when you read it. At least that's my perception.
Yeah,
and you have
know, I feel that poetry, more than whether it's in stanzas or languages and paragraphs, it's not about how it looks. It's the unexpected utterance of the soul. And so whether we write it down or not, when we find ourselves through great love and great suffering, into a moment where there is nothing between life and us, then the expression or the song, if you will, that comes out of us is poetry. And so that kind of truth, that kind of direct expression of being alive, it's like oxygen to the lungs. It's how the heart breathes. And so, you know, a lot of times poetry and many of the arts are misunderstood and seen as entertainment. Well, they can be entertaining. But at the level that we're talking about, it is medicine for the soul.
It really is. And it also, in my view, offers a form of meditation because it allows you to move a little bit more slowly. George Seferis is a man that apparently you have a great deal of regard for, and you put his words in the very beginning of your book, and this is what he said: "I want nothing more than to speak simply, to be granted this grace, for we have burdened even our song with so much music that it is slowly sinking, and we have embellished our art so much that the gold work has eaten away its space, and it is time to say our few words because tomorrow our soul sets sail." Well, you obviously like to put words to paper, and again, they have a very deep effect on people, and I think that it's so important, your statement in here where you say you spent so much of your life fearing pain that you seldom felt things all the way through. Explain that comment.
Well, you know, I think that and to help talk about that, let's use a metaphor of a flute, because I think that this helps us understand the nature of suffering in the human experience. Now, early flutes, before they were stamped out perfectly by musical instrument companies, but in early times, and we're going back to prehistoric times, you know, 36,000 years ago, where the earliest flutes were that we have artifacts of were discovered in Europe, and they were carved out of bone.
Mm-hmm.
They were carved out of animal bone and wood. And so no two flutes were ever identical, and that meant that no two flutes had the same holes carved in them, and that meant that no two flutes produced the same song. So if we pause here and look at this, what I want to offer is that every soul on earth, every life on earth, is such a flute. And like it or not, experience carves holes in us along the way. Now, nobody likes this. It doesn't feel good, but this is like gravity or weather, the seasons. This is part of living. And what happens is we don't need to have more holes carved in us than necessary. But whatever life brings us, whatever obstacles, whatever difficulties, whatever losses, because no one goes through life without losing something dear, these carve holes in us. And what's the whole purpose? The purpose is so that the breath of spirit can go by those holes and release our song. So when I say that I have felt and feared things, but not all the way through, it's understandable that the nature of pain and fear is that we tense up, we close up, but we need to help each other to stay open enough so that the holes in our flute of our life actually are all the way through so that our spirit can release its song. And so we can listen with an open heart and a gentle heart to each other's song.
You have a poem that I thought was quite significant, "Feeling the Ore." And this is how it reads: "I was in the air, frustrated that fog had delayed us. Now I'd miss my flight to Dallas, where I was on my way to speak about obstacles as teachers. I was feeling pissed off when I noticed my left hand on the seat. It was my father's hand, the large knuckles the pronounced veins, the bark-like wrinkles at the base of my thumb. It was his hand, as I'd seen it countless times, guiding a piece of wood through a bandsaw or tapping on an open book as he would try to understand. I opened and closed it like someone waking from a long sleep. It is the hand I write with. And it is weathered, an immigrant hand, rough from crossing many seas. Had it not been for the fog and the delay, I wouldn't have noticed. I touched it with my other hand, trying to know my father, trying to feel the oar, trying to remember the sea. That's very, very poignant. And as I read it, I thought, how many of us recognize those patterns of family that maybe we display ourselves? This was quite a poem.
Well, thank you. And it's interesting that you choose that. I just came back. My father passed away last week, and at 93. So it has extra meaning today. And yes, you know, that we are so, everyone who's here has people that we come from, and we are such a mix of the traits and the gifts and challenges that come from our families. And of course, we are our individual unique selves. And the dance of how we integrate who we are with where we come from, which seems to be never ending.
You also have in your book, there's just so many poems, and I know the lady that I spoke with, she said, each time I read one, I just sort of open the book to see where I'm going to land for the moment.
Oh, sure.
And you have one that I gave a little subtitle to, The Inner Wizard. And your title is On the Way to Windsor. By what road did you come? I can tell by your eyes you lost something along the way. Were you hurt? Or did you do the hurting? Me? Both. Did you drop anything willingly? I know, that's a hard one. I seem to have lost everything that identifies me. My heart's become a knapsack with torn little holes. I knew we'd meet like this. Oh, there are those who keep to themselves. When the wind sounds like a loved one, they come out and squint. But tell me, what does it mean to dream on this side of suffering? That we can rest more? That we can hear small birds unlace the dawn? It seems very simple now. We can finally talk when there isn't much to say. It's quite beautiful, isn't it? What stimulated those thoughts?
Well, just the fact that, you know, I think as we go on in life, at least for me, you know, we all do our best. We all make mistakes. We all inadvertently hurt each other. We don't mean to. And I think that, you know, one of those holes that's carved in each of us is the hole that leads to the song of humility. You know, we all mean well, and yet we all sometimes fall short. And when we accept that and own that, well, then what happens? Then our heart softens a little more and opens a little wider, and now we're more compassionate. You know, until we experience indecision, we have impatience with people who have trouble making decisions. You know, until we, it takes us longer as we get older to go places because we have a sore knee or a bad back. You know, then we don't understand why it takes someone so long ahead of us in the grocery aisle. So, you know, as the little by little, as we experience more, it opens our hearts in compassion. You know, having been through cancer, I can never have my heart closed to anyone who's going through a life-threatening situation. I think all the things that we go through initiate us into a deeper and deeper experience of compassion.
I think that's very true. And I know that with the passing of your father, there is an awareness of other aspects of life. And I think that life is meant to be lived. It is meant to be respected. And sometimes we have to fight, too. But it's a part of the process. Every one of us is a living book, if you will. And one of the poems in your book, Reduced to Joy, that especially touched my heart, was the one that you wrote about Saba. And you say, when just a pup, I took her into winter, while Paul photographed the heavy snow, she, having never run free, circled wildly, her little nose caked with white. She slipped and broke the ice. I can still see her puppy face underwater, looking for a way out, her tiny paws swatting at the clear, thick deep. With no thought, I'm waist high and wet, sweeping her into the air. She flew a good 12 feet and landed with a thud. She shook, started to shiver. We rubbed her down for 2 hours, blowing her with an old hair dryer. I held her in my shirt near my heart the whole way home. I'm 14 years and 7 states away, and she's died. My first dog. I close my eyes, and there she is, grown, sniffing the air in an open field, smelling things I couldn't even sense. How many times I've played that day in the pond, her struggle underwater, her drying on my chest. How much that day has shaped my art, always jumping in and sweeping what has been baptized in the deep back into the world, always holding it near my heart, as if my life depends on it. That is so beautifully stated. What a poignant experience to be able to share.
Well, thank you. You know, and I think that every moment is a teacher. And, you know, that moment many years ago is that we do when we, you know, we are drawn by love. You know, as soon as I saw that little puppy fall into the ice pond, there was no thought. I was in the pond, waist high, in the middle of January, retrieving her. And so isn't that what happens, you know, love beyond all hesitation, beyond all thinking, beyond all trying to measure what right action is, love makes us jump into the depth of things. And then we go farther into life than we probably willingly would have gone on our own. And so
I agree.
Yes, we were continually brought into this this baptism of experience in which we get closer and closer to to everything living.
Your Behind the Thunder statement, I thought, was especially poignant as well. I keep looking for one more teacher, only to find that fish learn from water and birds learn from sky. If you want to learn about the sea, it helps to be at sea. If you want to learn about compassion, it helps to be in love. If you want to learn about healing, it helps to know suffering. The strong live in the storm without worshiping the storm. I thought that was especially poignant because you can read books till the end of time, but until you actually live the experience, until you can taste, touch, smell, feel, hear, it's just there. It has no life to it.
Well, and I think also that, you know, the thing that's the teacher there, for me, is that, you know, it's never, you know, things that open us often are harsh and difficult. But, you know, those who learn and live in the storm don't worship the storm. And what I mean by that is that the opening, where we're opened and how we're opened, is always more important than the thing that opens us. And it's understandable that in our heartache and in our pain, in our suffering, that, you know, we focus for a while, and sometimes a long while, on whatever that is, whether it's an unexpected hurt from a loved one, or coming, you know, finding ourselves with cancer, or we've lost our job or we've lost our home, and these, and this doesn't minimize the difficulties that we experience, but what is opened in our lives is always more important. And that's a hard, learning for all of us. For me, I continue to keep learning this. And so, yes, you know, the instrument that causes us to open is never as important as what is opened in us. You know, I'd like to read you the poem toward the end of the book called "Where Is God?" And of course, this is a question we all ask in the midst of trouble. And it's been quite, I consider what I write teachers that I discover, that I, by being in conversation with them, I learn. And the poem, or whatever it is that I write, is the trail of that conversation. So this is a poem called "Where Is God?" It's as if what is unbreakable, the very pulse of life, waits for everything else to be torn away. And then, in the bareness that only silence and suffering and great love can expose, it dares to speak through us and to us. It seems to say, if you want to last, hold on to nothing. If you want to know love, well, let in everything. If you want to feel the presence of everything, stop counting the things that break along the way.
Tremendous wisdom in those words. It's a soft wisdom. And I think as we become more mature, we become aware. But just to sometimes hear that kind of wisdom, it lodges within our psyche. And then at the appropriate time, it sort of wafts across our consciousness and allows us to breathe it in and to be comfortable with where you are. And that leads me into your Made from Bone. And I put the subtitle to it of clarity. You said, when I can be the truth, it grows more and more clear when it is necessary to tell the truth. That is, when I have access to the place within me that is lighted, I don't have to speak heatedly. I can just give away warmth. When I'm still enough to brush quietly with eternity, I don't have to speak of God. I can just offer peace to those around me. A tree grows so it can convey wind. It is not the wind. And a person grows in order to convey spirit. They say that animals recharge their innocence each time they hoof the earth, and we are reborn each time we touch what matters. I think that the human being goes through rebirthing frequently in their lifetime. So often people want to think that it's just going to be some great major rebirthing, that it's going to change everything, when really, more often, it's a series of tiny rebirthings that together all of a sudden culminate in an awareness, and you're just there.
Yeah, that, you know, I couldn't agree more, and I think that what happens, you know, one of the blessings of being a human being is that, and here all we have to look at is the image of a butterfly that emerges from a cocoon. Well, in the life of a butterfly, of course, that only happens once. But one of the gifts of being a human being is that we go through that more than once in a lifetime. We go through many cocoons, and we emerge with many different colored wings. And each time a cocoon is emerged from, it doesn't mean the cocoon is false. It means it's served its purpose. And so we move from one period. You know, I'm not the same person. I'm 62. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Certainly, the essence of my soul is the same, but the person, the personality that has carried that spirit, that has met experience, that has been shaped by the world and by the relationships and by my own inquiries, is not the same. And so we continually are being reborn again and again, as I suggest there, but when we willfully or, not so willfully, touch what matters. it re-initiates both our innocence and experience.
You have a wonderful story in here about will, and I'd love for you to share that story. What was that? Is Will a man that you actually knew?
It was actually, you're talking from the poem, How Spirit Works on Earth.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, Will is a person, so this was a man that a friend of mine knew, and a dear friend of mine who had, and this just shows us this story of, you know, we so quickly judge people by their outer appearance or their circumstance, and, you know, we really often don't see the gift in who they are. So this friend of mine, he's living in a different house now, but at this time he was living in a house, he was beginning his family, and a man came to the door one day, his name was Will, older than my friend was, and he said, you know, could I come in and look around, because I lived here when I was younger, and I just want to, you know, just see. Well, of course, you know, he's a stranger, so, you know, there's a little caution there, but he trusted his instincts, and he let him in, and they got to know each other a little bit, and he turns out that this man was a custodian at a school, and he was also very gifted musician, as well as an expert in alchemy, and he wanted to build or plant wildflowers in the backyard, if it was okay with my friend, because he felt connected to that house where he had spent time growing up. So my friend let him and welcomed him, and they had kind of a seasonal friendship there until when the flowers bloomed, Will went on his way, and that was the meeting. But you know, so often we're so ready to dismiss people and each other, and of course, you know, being in the world, it's all, you know, we always have to also be cautious and be clear, and but we also, I think, we overdo that in our society. And we often don't trust what we know in our heart is not only safe, but enriching. You know, it was Thomas Merton, the wonderful Thomas Merton, who said, if we truly beheld each other, we would fall down and worship each other.
Very true. Mark Nepal, your words are rich. Your stories are so heart-stirring. And it's the type of book that when you have it, you can put it in a briefcase, carry it with you, maybe put it on your bedside table, and just open it up, like the lady I spoke with, and just see how it will speak to you in a moment. Mark Nepo's book, Reduced to Joy, is a joyful sharing through the magic of the written word, and it allows you to be in that space of companionship with someone who has traveled his own unique path and shares the wisdom of those experiences with you. Mark, your website is marknepo.com, and that is M-A-R-K-N-E-P, like Paul O. You also have a sister website of 3intentions.com, and if I remember correctly, the number 3 is spelled out, 3intentions.com.
Thank you so much. It's been just great to be with you.
It has been a delight, Mark. Enjoy your life, and I know that you will continue to write and enrich the world that we live in through your wonderful words. This is Donna Sebo. Check out Reduced to Joy by Mark Nepo, marknepo.com, 3intentions.com. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. Lots of good things to share with you. Don't go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to chat with me, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the toll-free telephone number, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Now, by the way, if you're a first-time listener, all I need is your first name, your initial. I love to know where you're calling in, from what part of the country or the world, and just relax. Let me tell you what I perceive, and then you get to ask me a question about anything that is of importance to you. So give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. Well, next week we're going to be talking with Jerry Schultz, the DNA of sales. We all are salespeople. Believe it or not, we all are selling all the time. It is something, though, that we've got a lot of misconceptions about. So Jerry is going to be sharing some very good things with us. And then, Elsa, we are going to be talking about this wonderful dog that was a healing dog. Elsa is no longer with us, but her owner, Rosemary Stevens, has kept her alive through this wonderful, wonderful book. Intuition, Cancer, and Miracles, Sarah Wiseman, a woman that has walked the difficult journey of dealing with cancer and what she got in the way of gifts. We're going to be talking about that. That and so much more you're going to be hearing about on the Donna Sebo Show, so I invite you to share with your friends, tell them to join us, and just know that one of my joys is bringing to you wonderful people that have stories to share, wonderful information to help make your life a better one, whether it's a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, or a grandma from Arkansas, I don't care. If they have something that can make our lives better through understanding, experience, practical application, by golly, we'll go for it. This is Donna Sebo. Again, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. Okay, I've got the fall horoscope for 2013. I love doing this. This is so much fun. Now, I'm only going to be doing a few signs because I've got some other things that I want to share with you today. But let's start with Aries and Taurus, and if I have time, I'll do Gemini. Yes, so we are going to talk about those of you born under the sign of Aries. And by golly, September 22nd to October 23rd, it looks like there's going to be some romance. Oh my goodness, isn't that nice? And you know what? You need to have some kind of a retreat. You need to have a place that is your space. I don't care if it's at the public library, the park, your bathroom, wherever it might be. You need to have that space that is all yours, that is not going to be interrupted, so that you have a chance to rest, relax, meditate, whatever it is that you want to do. Also, be more open to a supportive network. Don't be afraid to let people know that you have needs. If you're looking for a job or you've got a question about things, social networking can open up a wonderful opportunity there, but reach out to the people around you. You may find that someone that you know, maybe as a neighbor, you may say, I'm doing this, thus, that, and so, and they'll go, I didn't know that. Wow, gee whiz, I'm so glad you told me. Let me tell you about so-and-so. This has happened to me so many times. I encourage those of you under the sign of Aries. I know you're strong. I know you're determined. Don't be afraid to let other people know of your needs. Now, by the way, you need to really pay attention to your money flow, because you need to be more on the conservative side with your money flow and really think about where you want those dollars to go. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to go through severe privation. This is not necessary. But think before you spend and make sure that what you're buying is of quality. Don't go for the cheap stuff. Buy quality. Also, remember what I said about reaching out to other people? Well, maybe you want to join an organization or be around those that support the very component that you really want to be involved with. Can make all the difference in the world for those of you under the sign of Aries. The sign of Taurus, my goodness gracious, you have got opportunities coming for you if you're under the sign of Taurus. You are going to find that your career, that which you love to be a part of, the doors are opening for you. So be alert, be aware, be prepared. Yes, the good old-fashioned motto, be prepared, is extremely important. And if you are wise, you will understand that you're going to, through good planning, good organization, you're going to be able to accrue more capital, and then you're going to be able to do some of the things that you want to do. Perhaps it's investing in real estate. Maybe it's taking a trip someplace in the world. But you are going to find that you must take time to really think about how you work in your relationship. You're called Taurus the Bull for a reason. You cannot act like a bull in a china shop when it comes to people. You need to be aware that it is communication. So your communication skills you really need to work with so that they can become more refined. Pride yourself on the fact that you can be strong, you can be determined, but you can also communicate effectively and well. And I'll tell you what, the learning curve for you, this is the time if you're going to go to school, if you're going to do anything to empower yourself, go for it. This is excellent. This is a marvelous time for you to do that. And for those of you under the sign of Gemini, yes, it looks like I'm going to have time to get into this one. So with those of you under the sign of Gemini, you need to pay attention to details. Don't let yourself flip-flop around like a fish out of water. You really need to pay attention to what's going on about you. And you need to be mindful of what your priorities are. And that is going to enable you to really make some consistent, steady steps towards what it is you want to accomplish. Now, traveling. Boy, when the travel bug bites you, it bites hard. And you get multiple bites. So you need to realize to satisfy your soul that's filled with curiosity, your love of the unique, the unusual, the outdoors, different cultures, nourish that. If you don't have the budget maybe to travel to New Zealand, Australia, wherever else you might want to go, volunteer to work in a museum. Put yourself in environments that are going to stimulate your curiosity. Also, be a good shopper because you will be able, if you plan well enough in advance, you will not have to pay top dollar for whatever travels you want to enjoy. You'll be able to enjoy them and have money left over. So learning to shop so you can have that travel bug of yours satisfied, it's going to go a long way. So those are the three signs, Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. Tomorrow we'll do on Monday, Libra, Scorpio, or Sagittarius. So that will be given to you as well. And I'll go through all the signs of the zodiac. I have more fun with that. It's just really fascinating stuff. You know, there is an editorial assistant. Her name is Allison. And she said she was going to take on a project. And I thought, wow, here we are at a weekend. Why not look at something like this yourself? You can make up your own. But this is what she chose to do. She chose to adopt an attitude of a weekend of no blame. That's creative thinking, I think. She said, I wanted to do an experiment with positive thinking. Now, this was her experiment. She was challenging herself. Go for 3 days, or just two, whatever you want to do, without blaming yourself or anyone else. Now, stop and think about that. You don't blame anybody. You don't blame yourself. You think you could do it? And you know what? You could choose days during the week if you wanted to. She decided to do it on the weekend. She said, if something goes wrong with your plan for the weekend, that's why she chose the weekend. They said, I made a determination not to point my finger at someone or something, just to say, all right, why do I think this occurred? In other words, what is right about what is going on, not what is wrong. Figure out the solution. What are your options? And she said it really made a difference for her. What happened is, she said, I didn't end up having this heaviness, this, oh my goodness, it would have been so much better if I'd done this, that, or that, so, or this hadn't happened. Oh, it's so much. She reversed it. She said, okay, what is right about this? And not blaming. How can I take what I've got and make it into something good? And she has had some surprising results from that. One, she hasn't gotten grumpy. Two, she has taken power over her own personal space. And what this has enabled her to do is have a dominion effect over her own environment. She can't control what other people do, but she can control how she reacts to it. So you can make up your own experiment, but I'll tell you what, it's fun. And I want to share with you, yesterday I was in a grocery store, and my favorite checker, Thelma, was not there, but I encountered another lady. She had to be all of 4 feet tall. I don't even know how she must stand on a box to be able to do her work as a checker. This woman was given the name of Sunshine by her mother. Now, one day I'm going to find out how she got that name. She is from the Philippines. She has this wonderful smile. And when I was standing in line, I chuckled to myself because there was a checker that opened up at this store. If you have 4 or 5 people standing in line, they get another checker up there so you don't have to wait. They're very good at this. So this other checker, I was paying attention to Sunshine. I was writing out my check to pay for what I was going to purchase. And the person behind me was told by the lady who was standing behind him, and she had her kids with her, oh, you go to the new checker. I'm here in Sunshine's line. She's my favorite. Please don't be offended. You go ahead and go instead of me. It's amazing the impact we have on people. Here's this itsy bitsy tiny lady that I don't know, but I had the privilege of meeting, and she had such an effect on one individual, not just me, but one individual was standing in line, that this person was willing to wait in line to have her service. Now, what happened was after Sunshine finished what she was doing, she went around to this woman and gave her a big hug. How many checkers do you know that will even consider doing that? It is amazing the effect a person can have on someone else. And I looked at that, and I just laughed. Sunshine, all of a sudden she's talking to me. She said, I'm so grateful to be here. This is my 10th day on this job, and I like the management, and she's just opening up to me. Yuck, 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 yuck. And I looked at that, and I thought, no wonder her mother named her Sunshine. She was probably that way in the womb, and Mama knew it. And so when she was born, she gave her the name that suited her, because this woman really is Sunshine. So whether you do what Allison suggests, or if you're just like Sunshine, beaming your light on everybody that comes your way, you make a difference. You really, really do. This is Donna Sebo. When we come back, I've got a story about some people that make a difference. And, hey, if you want to chat with me, give me a buzz at 888-627-6. 008. Donna Sebo here. We are going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Quickly, I want to let those of you in the state of Washington, in Western Washington, know that I'm going to be coming up with an appearance here at the Emerald Spiral Expo in Kent, Washington. Now, this is going to be held at Kent Commons. It's on September 28th. It's from 9 in the morning until 5 in the evening, and it's free to the public. And I'm going to be speaking at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at that event. I'm also going to have a booth. I'm going to have oodles of books, and I'll also be available for little mini sessions as well. So put that on your calendar. If you're in Western Washington, come on out. Be a part of an event that allows you to just have this wonderful feel of openness and communication when it comes to not only intuitive skills and abilities, but also to people, to be able to talk to them. So many times we want to be in a space where if we've had experiences of our own, of the paranormal or anything of that nature, to be able to be one-on-one and talk with someone is really great. And this is an event that's been going on for years and years and years here in Western Washington, and I know you'll have a good time. So mark down September the 28th, Kent Commons in Kent, Washington, the Emerald Spiral Expo. Hope to see you there. Come by my booth. Say hello. I'm in booth number 25. I wanted to share a story with you because, to me, it's so important to bring out the fact that there is serendipitous situations that occur in life in so many different expressions. I have found in life, you can't put life in a box. You can try. You will have all kinds of people that will say, well, if you're the color purple, you're this. If you're the color blue, you're this. If you're red, you're this. I'm sorry. I find people are rainbows. I find that life is like a rainbow. And it has so many different shades that many times we wonder why things happen. And yet there seems to be a full circle of connection that binds us all. Let me share this story with you because it is a true story. And it's about a woman by the name of Christina Hessler and her husband, Eric. Now, Christina was known for her generosity. This is a woman who was always wanting to help other people. She especially liked to work with the elderly. She'd cook meals for those people that she knew needed them. But this one incident came up, and her husband was saying, I don't know. I really don't know that you should do this. What was it? Christina was going to donate a kidney. Now, this is not something to be taken lightly. However, there was good reason for her making this choice. She had a very good friend whose mother had died from a kidney disease, and she knew someone else who had a 7-year-old son who was saved because there was a match for the kidney. Now, one day, I like to think that we're going to be able to grow kidneys from a person's own cells. We can do that with skin. We can do it with the liver. We're coming so quickly, so far along, so that there won't be the difficulty of trying to find a donor. And so she said to her husband, this can make a difference between life and death for someone. Well, she found out through a website, it's called matchingdonors.com. There was a 37-year-old mother that added her name to the kidney donor list. So that was Christina. She said, and the reason she wanted to do it, she typed in this message, I want to help someone live a better life. Now, in Macon, Georgia, another woman, whose name, interestingly enough, was Christina, was also adding her name to the recipient list. Now, this Christina, on her 24th birthday, went into kidney failure. The doctors had no clue as to what has happened. There was absolutely nothing through all of the tests, everything they tried to do to figure out what it was, and they couldn't do anything about it. So she was immediately put on dialysis. She would have died if she hadn't have been. And her name was put on the transplant list. Well, the word got out among the friends in Georgia. So for 10 hours every day, Christina underwent dialysis. Now, they were able to do the treatments at home. They did them at night, but she was just exhausted. If you've ever known anybody that has had to go through dialysis, it is a tough process. And to do it every single day, it's just very, very difficult. She had to follow a very strict diet. The risk of infection was so high she couldn't be around children. She couldn't teach, which was her passion. She could not have children of her own. Now, her husband, John, was right there with her. He didn't abandon her. He stayed right there. He said, somehow or another, we're going to get through this. And so because of this, she gave him a nickname, and it was Stony. Well, this went on, not for a few months. Went on for a year, turned into 2 years, and then one of her doctors told her about the website matchingdonors.com. Now, what this does, it connects people in need of organs with people willing to donate. Well, she had a lot of apprehension about doing this. Christina in Macon, Georgia, she said, how can you ask somebody for one of their kidneys? That is a big thing to ask of anybody. However, she decided to post it because she knew that she was not going to have a life that is going to be really enjoyed in any way, shape, or form if she didn't ask. So she did it. She told her story about marrying the man of her dreams. And she said, I'm 24, 26, 24 when it started, 26 now. Can you help? Is there anyone out there that can help me? Now, her plea went out to a number of donors, and Christina in Oklahoma, she got it, and immediately, via the internet connection, she resonated with this Christina in Macon, Georgia, Christina in Oklahoma, with Christina in Georgia, and she said, I'll help you. Do you know they were a perfect match? That's right. So there was something else that happened with this, though. There's a lot more to this story. Christina was going to have to go through a pap test and all other kinds of tests, and you know what happened? They found, because of the testing they did, the extensive testing, that she had cervical cancer. So Christina in Oklahoma, donating a kidney, discovers she has cervical cancer. The doctors say, we do a hysterectomy. You're going to be just fine. We'll get it all. So because of her, donating a kidney, she found out about something that was beginning to grow inside of her that was not good. Both women are healthy and back to living their lives, and to this day, they're still amazed at how two perfect strangers completed a circle of experience that ended up in wellness and a joyful life for both of them. She said, "We believe we were meant to find each other, and we owe each other our lives." This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is your life. Live it with gusto. Have a magnificent weekend. Be back with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.